How many of us have struggled with the pain and difficulty of online dating? Dr. Marie Tuwin, a brilliant researcher and a dear friend, is going to share with us ideas that will change your online dating life in amazing ways. She gives us a framework that can change our entire approach to online dating. So stay tuned to the Deeper Dating Podcast to learn more.
If you've ever been disillusioned, disappointed, or discouraged in your search for love, and you know there has to be a better way to find the healthy, soul-filling love you've always longed for, then you've discovered the podcast for you. I know, as Ken's work personally has led me to find the love of my life. So here's your host of Deeper Dating, Ken Page.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Deeper Dating Podcast. I'm Ken Page. I'm a psychotherapist. I'm the author of the best-selling book, Deeper Dating, the host of your podcast, and the creator of the Deeper Dating Intensive. And I am so excited today to get to share with you someone whose work I honor so much and who's going to talk about maybe the kind of simple, central topic that I get asked about most, that people need the most help with, which is how do I navigate online dating in a way that's conscious, that's less toxic for me, and that actually gets me the results that I want. So we have a wonderful expert here to talk about that with us. Her name is Marie Tuwin, and welcome, Marie.
Hello, Ken. It's such an honor to be here. I am so excited for this conversation.
So am I. And I know that the audience is going to really, really love this too. So I want to tell everybody a bit about you before we dive in. But I'll say, and Marie and I were talking about this, like, it's so rare to meet somebody who kind of emanates a quality of integrity, compassion, and you feel that through and through with them. And Marie is that. And I have such respect for her work, and I adore her. And so I'm really, really glad to have her on, and she's really smart, and she has really, really helpful ideas and a strong research background. So I think this is going to be really valuable, and I adore her, and I'm so happy to get to share her with you.
Oh my gosh, Ken, I am blushing and I'm just feeling so excited, so honored, because I feel the exact same way about you. You've been such an inspiration in my work in dating coaching. So the feelings are absolutely mutual.
Fabulous. Thank you so much. So I'm going to tell everybody about you. So Dr. Marie Tuwin is the founder of Love Insight, a mindful dating and relationship coaching practice where she supports people of all backgrounds, to create intentional and vibrant love lives. She's also a leading scholar on the experience of compersion, or positive empathy in consensually non-monogamous relationships. And she's the author of a recently published breakthrough book on the topic called What is Compersion, which is right behind her, and you can see it there, and available all over the place. Her work on mindful dating, on mindful swiping, and on intentional relationships has been featured in lots of publications and podcasts, including The Times of London, Elle, Women's Health, and HuffPost. And in the transcript, you'll get to see lots of links for her work. And at the end of this podcast, she'll tell us more about how we can follow her, get to know more of her work. She just did a wonderful workshop on mindful swiping. So we have a lot to cover. So, ready to jump in?
Oh, yes.
Okay, fabulous. I'll be right back after this. If you're interested in accelerating and deepening your search for love, I want to invite you to a very special project, the Deeper Dating Intensive. I only offer it twice a year, and it's a six-month journey working closely with me and an amazing community to transform each member's search for love. And you can learn more at deeperdatingintensive.com. And if it feels like a match, on that page you can set up a free one-on-one session with me to explore possibilities. I look forward to connecting if this speaks to you. Welcome back. So first, tell us about you and how you became interested. Like, what's been your journey that has led you to be fascinated in this subject of mindful dating and mindful online dating?
Mm-hmm. Thank you for asking that. So I would say it's a two-part journey. First, it's my journey of being really passionate about relationships and how we as human beings create our intimate relationships and on what models and why. I think I've always had this curiosity and this questioning of the models that have been handed to us in terms of what needs to happen when we want to experience love and sexuality and human connection. And we all grow up with certain cultural scripts, certain familial scripts. And for some of us, that might work, but some of us just really react against those scripts and feel that they don't fit us. So I became very passionate about the idea of intentional relationships. Relationships from a source of inner authority rather than outer authority. And when I started to apply that to my own experience of online dating, I realized that I could have a lot of fun. I could use online dating and the big volume of opportunities to meet new people for dating as an education for myself about, you know, so how am I navigating this, you know, like big new array of connections, and what am I learning about myself in the process? And what am I learning about humanity, other people? So I was able to have a lot of fun and find a lot of meaning in my own dating experiences. Meanwhile, I was observing a lot of my friends having a terrible time with dating in general, and especially online dating. So I decided to become a dating coach to, in a way, share what I had learned about how dating could be meaningful and transformative and educational.
So one second here, because I teach the same things that dating can be all of those things and believe that deeply, but you're saying online dating could be that, and you're going to help us see how and what to do to make that so. That's pretty wild. I'm really looking forward to hearing that, especially since the research shows that online dating, particularly swipe apps, intensify anxiety and depression in so many people that use it. So we've got a lot to learn from you. Very excited about that. Sorry to interrupt. Just wanted to say that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yes. And I don't want to dismiss that research. And I think it's a little bit like gambling or social media. I think that online dating is a technology that, you know, like we have to use it so intentionally to be able to reap the benefits of it rather than becoming slaves of it or becoming praise to all of these pitfalls, really, because they're real.
And you're going to teach us how.
Exactly. I created a framework for that.
Beautiful, beautiful. So could you tell us about your framework and the basic pillars of it? Let's start there.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. And I want to also premise that with situating these pillars within a greater context that I call mindful dating. And mindful dating is both the internal sides of how do we navigate the journey of dating mindfully, which is very similar to what you teach, you know, like the idea of having a really loyal relationship with oneself, having our own back and knowing oneself before we start, you know, like just like being pulled away, you know, by new connections. So I think that is really, really important to also teach and, you know, contextualize the idea of mindful swiping within that greater context of navigating dating mindfully. I will also premise the four pillars by saying that meeting people in person, going to events, you know, having community, having a rich social life is also equally important as learning to use the apps or the dating websites mindfully.
Totally agree. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that said, let's go through the four pillars. They don't have to be done in a particular order. They're just really just establishing a framework that people can use to feel like they can be in the driver's seat of their use of online dating rather than the apps and the algorithms pulling them. So the first pillar is ritualizing our use of the apps.
So
that means instead of just swiping mindlessly when we are bored or angry or at the grocery store waiting in line, we want to create a ritual container for our use of the apps. So I recommend limiting your time to maybe 15 or 20 minutes a day and setting a space where you can be centered and intentional, remembering your intentions and creating a very comfortable space. It can be a space in your home. Maybe you want to play calming music or light a candle or create a sense of intentionality and a sense
Right.
of practice. A little bit like you were going into a meditation practice, create that level of intention before you even open the app or the website. And
Beautiful.
That will change your experience completely.
I love that. And for people that kind of have a spiritual or like theistic approach, or just some kind of spiritual approach, that you can also ask. You can ask for help, ask for support, ask for whatever it is you want to ask for. That can maybe be a part of it if that suits people.
Absolutely. If you already have, you know, like sometimes I will encourage my coaching clients to write a list of things they want to experience in their relationship, in a relationship that they're trying to call in, like the different qualities of that relationship. Like they want a relationship that's based on respect and mutuality and fun and, you know, whatever values. Keep those front of mind.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Keep those front of mind before you start swiping, starting to, you know, like experience all the emotions that will, you know, invariably come up as you start swiping.
Yes, love that.
Pillar number two is creating an empowered dating profile. And to me,
say more.
Yes, that is one of my favorite things actually to help people with, is to create a dating profile that feels really, really authentic and empowering. I think one of the biggest mistakes that people make in writing their profiles and really creating their profiles is reducing themselves to a more generic version of who they are because they're afraid of being rejected. Because I think you will resonate, because that is very resonant with the idea of the core gifts. They might have parts of themselves that have been rejected before, and they're afraid that they will be rejected again. So the process of creating a profile, you know, that includes photos and text that feels really like you and that conveys the range of qualities about you, can be transformational in and of itself. Even if you didn't even use that profile to swipe, just that act of creating that intentional communication about who you are, what you want to convey to people online, can be just really, just really empowering, very transformative. So
I love that.
Yes.
I love that. But I have some questions too. Like this, I have to dive in a little bit here, because I can just picture so many people that I work with and have talked to who would ask these questions. So what about the thing of talking about what you don't want? Let's say there are some things you don't want that are really important to you, but the messaging is usually like, don't get too into what you don't want. Like, what are your thoughts about that dilemma in creating a profile?
I think it's wise to steer away from negativity. So I think there's a difference though between being really clear and being negative. So when people have a deal breaker, I usually encourage them to frame it in a positive way, in the form of like, I really value this. Like, for example, if someone is really wanting to be with someone who has a healthy lifestyle,
Right.
instead of saying like, no smokers or no couch potatoes or, you know, like emanating a form of negativity within that profile that would just kind of translate like, oh, judgment and negative vibes. I would encourage them to express why they're feeling so strongly about wanting to share a healthy lifestyle and express that with enthusiasm and passion. Like, I'm
Beautiful.
really passionate
Beautiful.
About health. And then, you know, people might not always filter themselves out based on that, but you have to trust yourself to filter people out on the other side, you know, like,
and
you
we're going to
can't...
get to that too,
yes.
I'm sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to stick with this profile thing and just ask you a couple more questions.
Of course.
So what about the fact that people might say, well, you know, the stuff I like is kind of generic. I want honesty. I want passion. I want commitment. Like, that's generic stuff. How do you go from saying those generic things that may be true, but don't necessarily evoke a feeling of like, wow, I feel empowered with this? How do you move, like maybe some even examples, but how do you move into the zone where you actually feel empowered by what you wrote?
Mm-hmm. Well, you can give examples of what that means to you. That is the idea of show, don't tell. Sometimes people might want to say something like, humor is really important to me. But making a joke or being humorous on your profile might, in a way, convey that value in a more playful way or in a more evocative way. So you can play with those nuances of communication where you can just really demonstrate the values you're trying to convey.
So let's say somebody, honesty is really important, like truth telling,
mm-hmm.
being really honest.
Mm-hmm.
How do you do that in a way that is like showing, not telling?
Well, I think that the way that people communicate, you know, like if you are really honest about who you are and maybe even saying the why behind one of those values, something like, you know, I think that honesty is the foundation of a really solid connection, and that relationships are really a great avenue for us to become more of who we truly are. That would
That's great.
convey something really
Yes.
substantial, and it's not generic.
No, that's not
And
generic.
yeah. Mm-hmm.
So kind of like what you're saying is take the concept, but then get more personal again about why it matters to you and how it matters to you. And then it's more real, then it's more empowered. And another question, I'm sorry, it's just such an important one. What if you feel stuck? What about all the people who are like, ugh, like, I don't know how to do this. Like, I know I'm supposed to be witty. I know I'm supposed to be this. I know I'm supposed to be that. I know I'm supposed to be authentic, but like, what do I do? So this is a two-part question, Marie.
Yeah.
One is, how do you get help? What kind of help can you get? How do you handle that if you're just feeling unsure? And then the second part of that question is, what about the apps that don't give you a lot of space, or people don't usually use a lot of space? How do you do that there? So two questions.
Mm-hmm. Well, how do you get help? Two main ways to get help would be if you can bring, you know, have the time and the money to hire a dating coach or be part of a community like yours, it's really great to have that kind of direct support of someone who can sit with you and help you really bring out the uniqueness and specialness of who you are and find the words that are going to be resonant with you.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Another way to do that is to enroll your friends into that process. Ask your good friends, like, what might be some qualities about me that you really value, that you think are unique and special? Getting that kind of feedback can be vulnerable for some people, but I think that friends are usually really eager to help. So I would say if you can tap into the power of friendship and community as a way to support
Beautiful.
that process, that's great.
Beautiful. Yeah.
And the other part of that question was, what if people get stuck, correct?
More like the apps that just don't give you a lot of room,
Oh,
or most
yes,
people
yeah.
just do really short description, so you feel funny doing a bigger one. Yeah, what about like you don't have a lot of room?
Well, I actually am a big believer that you can convey a lot within a short amount of space. I usually encourage people to pick three of the main things that they want to convey. Oftentimes it's one thing that they really value, whether it's a passion or a hobby or, you know, like an area of life that they just feel really strongly about. The other one can be a relationship value that they feel really strongly about, something that really conveys what is the vibe of the relationship they want to create. And that can be done pretty succinctly. It doesn't have to be a novel. And to give people a taste of what you're about relationally and what you're looking for relationally.
Beautiful. Yeah.
And, you know, like the photos, actually. I want to say a few words on photos because many people would say photos are superficial. You can't really
tell. But before you do,
yes.
Before you do, because I think that's really, really important. Did you say that there were three different arenas? Did you say three?
Yes.
Okay,
so,
yeah.
I mean, oftentimes those short form dating app platforms like Hinge and Bumble will give you three different areas where you can write things. So yeah, the first two are very important to say something very meaningful about you, something very meaningful about the relationship you want to create. And then the third one can be used more at your discretion to maybe convey things that you like. Sometimes like just having a list of simple pleasures, things that light you up or things that you're curious about can be really interesting and give people a sort of hook, a conversational hook to contact you and start a conversation over that.
That's so simple. It's such a simple framework you're giving, but it says so much. So these three different things, something about who you are, but done in a way that you're not just saying in a generic way, you're showing.
Yes.
And you feel that you're showing. And then the second one, what you want in a relationship, what you dream of, what really matters to you, and then conveying it again in that real and personal way. And three, like something that brings you joy, that brings you vitality, that, you know, in the kind of broader definition of Eros, which is not just sexual, but the deliciousness of life, like something that you can convey about that in you. So that's a fabulous kind of rubric.
Yes.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh, you're welcome. I love that. Yeah, it can be so fun to also like challenging ourselves to be concise and say a lot within a few words. I mean, that's a big challenge for me. You might have already noticed that I'm pretty wordy.
Me too.
But I think it can be really done masterfully when you sit down and you're really like intentional with every word.
It's great. Thank you. And I took you away from photos, but I'm glad we spent that extra time because it's a big one.
Yes, yes, absolutely. So also, I think being intentional with the photos that we pick and creating a visual story. And that means picking a broad variety of photos, of course, including a really good headshot that really shows who you are and what kind of person you are, just really like good lighting, good headshot. That's really important, but also portraying you in different areas of your life, different contexts, and different emotional content. I think many people make the mistake of wanting to only portray the kind of angles and sides of them that they think are cute or attractive or like their good side, quote unquote. But the profile is not about portraying that one thing that you think is most attractive. It's about portraying range. And doing that with photos. And I think it goes much beyond the idea of like attractiveness. I think photos convey a lot of emotional content and your emotional signature.
Mm-hmm. Your emotional signature. I love that.
Yes, yes. I mean, when I swipe with my clients and we look at other people's profiles, we get away from simply asking, well, is this person hot or not? But we look at what is this person's emotional signature? Like, what kind of emotions do they seem to be running in their body? And what is their essence? Like, what are they conveying with their facial expressions, with their body language? Like, what are you getting from them? And I think we're all very, very intuitive. And sometimes we don't tap into that because we stop at the surface. But I think being intentional with those photos and what we're conveying, are we conveying openness? Are we conveying warmth? Are we conveying different aspects of who we are, can be very powerful and empowering as well.
Beautiful, beautiful. I love that. I love that. I had somebody say to me once that when you think about your photos, like think about getting some pictures that the people who love you and know you can look at those pictures and say, oh, that is your essence. That's like you.
I absolutely agree. Absolutely.
Wonderful. Okay. So the second pillar is around an empowering profile.
Yes. And then the third pillar is moving into discernment. And that is about, how do I know when I want to swipe right or swipe left? If I'm using a swipe-based app, you know, swiping right is yes, swiping left is no. Of course, people using desktop online dating sites also have that kind of system. But how do I decide if I'm going to give somebody a chance? And that is such a profound question. Because again, I think we are so trained to look for certain things in a partner. And when, you know, we're looking at online dating profiles, that person becomes two-dimensional. And we need to be very intentional to really connect with our embodied intuition and our discernment to, yeah, go beyond our preconceived notions of what is attractive and actually go a notch deeper and ask, like, could I be open to this person? Would I want to know more about them? Am I curious? Is this someone I would potentially want to know more?
So this is like, that would be a slower swiping process, right? That you would like stop at one picture and you would ask yourself these questions.
Yes. And for some people, they might start saying no to more people when they become more discerning, because they are now understanding that, you know, as they're slowing down and observing themselves, maybe they used to say yes to too many people from a place of scarcity and deprivation and feeling like, well, not enough people are going to say yes to me, so I have to just say yes to everyone because the power is not within me to choose.
Right.
That can
yeah
be a
these
profound realization.
Yeah. Oh, say more about that.
Well, I actually was working with a coaching client yesterday who just realized that he's a heterosexual man, and he just realized that he feels that women have all the power in dating. So he has, if he's going to be successful in this script, he has to say yes to all the women, and he has to say yes to what they want. Because if he says no to them or something that they want, he will get rejected. So now this is opening up a whole new opportunity for more authenticity and more discernment from his end, because you can't build an authentic relationship from a place of feeling disempowered.
Right. So when you're doing this third pillar of discernment, you're going to come up against your own fears, your own obstacles. So the discernment almost goes in two different directions. It's like, oh, I'm stuck here. Like someone I know has had a hard time with people that he thinks are more attractive than him. And that's been a big part of his work, was like swiping right on people who he would have been afraid to because they're more attractive and they wouldn't be interested. And then also, I think that there's like an atmosphere of fear that happens. It happens in our body. It happens in our nervous system. So our swiping becomes fear-based. And what you're saying kind of like can help us decenter from that fear. But then also notice what it is. Like, oh, this person, I'm noticing I feel scared. Maybe I feel scared because they have like a really warm and available face. And even though I like that, that makes me nervous. Like what you're saying is in that slow swiping, there's like a dual kind of learning that happens, which is why it's great to get support around this, right?
Yes, totally.
Because that person who was working with you, he might have missed that entire insight if he didn't have someone like you to work with.
Yes, and that's the power of having a dating coach or a therapist or someone who can eliminate the blind spots. Because right. It's so easy to have so many blind spots when we're dating and swiping and using those technologies.
Totally. Totally. It's a part of the package is the blind spots. That's part of the learning is like, oh, my blind spot. Oh, my blind, like recognizing that. Yeah.
Right. Yes. And yeah, for some people, it's going to be saying no more often and owning their no. And for some people, the learning curve is going to be owning their yes and actually opening the door, like you said, to people who might have seemed intimidating or not their type or not within their narrower idea of who they should be with. Sometimes right. A cultural idea or a socialized or, you know, like your mom's idea of who you should be with, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. It's wonderful. It's great. Mm-hmm. And so what's pillar number four?
Pillar number four is loving kindness, which is a Buddhist principle of not only giving ourselves self-compassion. So it starts with giving ourselves self-compassion as we are navigating life, but also giving other people compassion and emanating and offering love and kindness to people around us. And that is tapping into the Buddhist idea that we are not separate from each other. We're all one. And we have so many opportunities in our world to, you know, see ourselves as very separate and see each other as enemies. And oftentimes I think online dating can create this paradigm of, well, the people I'm swiping on are enemies or I'm competing with them or it's a power dynamic and we're really totally. Like, we're not on the same team.
Right.
So actually like bringing in this awareness of like, oh, we're all in the same boat. We're all wanting love, connection, attention, validation. We're all here for the same kind of reasons, maybe not exactly the same goals and reasons, but if we can remember, like, I'm here and I'm deserving of love and compassion and kindness from myself, and other people are too. So maybe as I'm swiping, whether I'm swiping left or right, whether it's someone who is attractive or repulsive to me, they deserve my kindness and the fullness of my heart.
Beautiful.
And yeah, swiping with that attitude changes everything.
Say more about like how it changes everything for people, like what people experience. I mean, this is very exciting to me and it's making me think a million different thoughts around all of this. It's very exciting. But could you say more about like an example even of how this has changed something for someone you've worked with or yourself?
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, I want to maybe talk about myself there because there are certain types of people that historically, you know, from my childhood and adolescence, like certain types of men actually that have often rejected me in a romantic context. And I remember when I started being aware that I would have an angry reaction to that type of man. Like it was more specifically like kind of like the frat bro type, you know, like very kind of high status, tall, white men, you know, like very popular. And I never felt like I was good enough for them. And I always felt like repeatedly rejected by that type of guy. So when I started dating online and I started seeing that type of guy, I would immediately feel angry. Like that old resentment of feeling like, oh, I got rejected by that type of person so many times. I'm either going to swipe right or left on them, but I'm going to do it with anger. with a bit of a FU. And realizing that, and realizing like, oh, this person didn't do anything to me. They don't deserve my anger. They don't deserve my resentment. If I'm going to connect with them or not connect with them in the future, I want to bring my best self forward. They deserve my love. They deserve my kindness. If that type of person has rejected me in the past, you know, like, who am I to try to punish everyone who looks like this going forward?
That's great. Thank you. Thank you for the vulnerable and honest self-experience around that. Mm-hmm. This is so big. I just want to say a few things about this, these four pillars. But this is so big. This last one is really, really big. And it makes me think about how in the presence of huge numbers, we protect our heart by acting like the people aren't really people. Because otherwise we're saying, no, no, no. If we see them as human beings with hearts, it makes it a lot more intense and harder. And that is why I think we vilify people so easily who don't fit into our world. And you know what, you see this now with immigrants, like this vilification. There isn't room. You are bad. You are evil. You are a criminal, which is so profoundly far from the truth in almost all cases. It's just such a kind of primitive response. Anyway, I guess it's kind of a universal tendency that what you're describing works against. And then I just want to say, like you said, these pillars are exciting. And I could see that because, okay, pillar number one, how fabulous you turn it into a spiritual practice. Pillar number two, you create a profile that like scares you and excites you, but ultimately feels empowering and real. That's like totally cool. Number three, discernment. There's just so much learning to be done there. And number four, you soften your heart. You open your heart. You actually, in a way, you're saying yes to love, which changes the entire fabric of what's going to happen next in huge, huge ways. So this is fabulous. And I'm just picturing, like, I just have this picture of you, like, teaching, like, getting groups of people together where everybody is on their computer or on their phone at the same time. And you take them through step one, step two, step three, step four. Like, oh, I just think people would flock to that.
Thank you. Yes, yes, that would be great. I've taught this framework as a, you know, a masterclass online as a webinar, but I think to actually do these steps together would be so powerful. Thank you for that idea.
Oh, that'd be really fun. I know a lot of people that would like love that.
Yes.
So, okay, continuing. Let's see. I'm looking through the questions you gave me to ask, which we talked about too, that are really, really rich. I feel like in a way, okay, so what about people who like just feel like they've been toxified by online dating? They're like, ugh, ugh, ugh. I feel like I'm sick of it. I'm disgusted. I'm annoyed. I'm disappointed. I'm hurt. Like just, it's so against my values. I need a break. I'm just toxified, like at this point. And then maybe I'll come back, but I'll come back like, I got to do this again, because how else am I going to meet people? Anything you want to say for people that are kind of burnt out right now with online dating?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that it's always important to follow, you know, our own intuition and not force ourselves into dating activities that feel yucky and that really don't feel good to our soul. Because, you know, like that will not promote us showing up with the kind of open-hearted energy that we want to build connection upon. So I think it's totally valid to take breaks. And I will say that if people can practice the kind of mindful swiping framework that I'm advocating, we can move from a form of online dating that feels really depleting, spiritually and emotionally depleting, to a form of dating that might feel more like self-care and education and a practice and growth, especially with restricting the amount of time we spend on the apps. Oftentimes people get burnt out because they're just using the apps throughout the day, and it becomes this obsession or this addiction. So if we really become disciplined and making it more of a practice, there's a lot less room for burnout.
Beautiful, beautiful. I really agree with that. Okay, next question. I have about a million questions. We're not going to have time for them, but so maybe we'll find some way to continue with this in another way,
because
this
to.
Is just so valuable.
Yes.
Okay, what about the whole thing of people who are looking ultimately for a relationship? And maybe this is not fair, but I think this tends to happen with gay men more. Looking for a relationship, but they're like open to sex along the way. So they're like on a swiping app, and it's geosocial, so that they know that somebody's really close and might be open to, you know, it's kind of built in a way for hooking up, and maybe that could lean to more, maybe it wouldn't. What about these people that are like on the fence? Like, I'm open to sex, but I really want a relationship. But they're also aware that when you go in like that, it's going to turn off a lot of people that are just looking for a relationship and maybe even steer you in a weird direction. Anyway, any thoughts about that dilemma for people who wrestle with that?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's important to be authentic and to own our desires, especially our sexual desires, because the fear of turning off someone because you're open to casual sex, well, I mean, that's a hypothetical fear. I know a lot of people who are in long-term relationships that started with a hookup, that started with sex. So I think sometimes we have scripts around like, this is how a serious relationship must start. And it must start with no sex and, you know, 5 dates before we touch each other. And, you know, like there's all these ideas. So I think it's important for people to be very communicative about their intentions. I think it's totally possible to explain, whether it's on your dating app or on a first phone call or the first date, you know, I'm really interested in getting to know somebody, and I'm very, you know, I'm very emotionally available. I'm, you know, I'm here for a relationship, and I'm not, you know, I'm also interested in exploring my sexuality with people along the way. I'm not going to say no to that. So if we can communicate that, again, it's a communication of the range of things that we are. If we can do that effectively, then the people who might share the same values, who are relationship minded, but are also sex positive in a way that does not preclude casual sex, might say like, oh, that's actually my kind of person.
This is interesting. That's really interesting. I mean, I'm a big proponent of people following and trusting their nervous system and their desires. But I also feel like, especially coming from like the gay men's world, where like that was our entertainment, that was our adventure, that was our only way to find love, the slowing down thing. My husband still teases me about how long I made him wait for sex.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. But I needed that. That's something I needed. So I do think there are a lot of people that are hesitant about someone who is open to both.
Mm-hmm.
But what you just did with that, the way you presented it, felt like almost it's very similar to how you presented the profile piece. In other words, you didn't get locked into a thing like, this is who I am, or like, this is like the compartment I fit into. You instead explained in a really rich way who you are in that hypothetical situation. And I guess in online dating, it's so easy to say, are you this? Are you that? Are you this? Are you that? And then just fit people into boxes, at which point loving kindness has kind of gone into a deep freeze. So I love what you did and how you did that.
Right.
So there's so much more, but I guess I just want to ask you, for all the folks who are dealing with online dating, swipe apps and non-swipe apps, what would you most want to say to them in closing? What would you most want to impart or share with them?
Just as a general attitude, I would really encourage people to see dating and online dating in context. And in the idea that we can integrate those technologies with the rest of our lives and with our value system, rather than seeing them as separate. You know, I think I really fell in love with this work of dating coaching when I realized that there were so many people who had rich, rich spiritual lives, but couldn't find a way to integrate dating into that. They felt like dating was this thing on the side that they had to abandon themselves in order to do. And my passion is to, you know, like help everyone integrate dating into who they really are and actually like have this process fuel their journey of authenticity and becoming more of themselves. So that's really, I think, the core of this framework of mindful swiping is staying true to yourself, staying loyal to yourself and to your growth path, using dating as a practice for you to grow. And as you so beautifully say at the beginning of each podcast, you know, to prepare for the relationships that you want to have. You know, the skills of dating are the skills of relationship. They're the skills of intimacy. They're the skills of life.
Yes,
so to see these things as integrated and synergistic is kind of my main takeaway, I think.
I love that. And do you think, I got to ask you another question here. Do you think that doing that changes the outcome? And if so, how? Tell us how.
I absolutely think it changes the outcome. Because when we are coming from that really authentic, really like empowered and integrated self, we are magnetizing. I mean, I'm preaching to the choir here.
But it's great. It's great.
You're magnetizing people who can actually really see and appreciate the real you.
Yeah.
Because if you're playing a game, if you're, you know, like distancing yourself from who you really are, then you're creating the wrong magnet. You're going to attract the wrong people.
That's right. That's right.
And you're not going to be happy in the relationships you create. Like, if you want a really solid relationship that's based on truth, you have to start with truth.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. Well, I did not expect, even knowing you, to be as excited and inspired at the thought of how to do online dating differently. I've interviewed lots of different people. I've talked to lots of different people. I don't think I've ever heard a version this inspiring and also exciting. So I love this. I love this. I hope we get to do more. This was really, really fun. And can you tell people how they can find out more about you, how they can follow you, how they can learn from you?
Absolutely. So folks can find everything about me on my website, marietouin.com. And I
and
also
say
have
the spelling of that.
Oh, yes. So it's marietouin. So that's my full name.com. There they can find my recorded videos on the four pillars of mindful swiping, the six pillars of mindful dating, which is the bigger framework that I created around this, and book a free 30-minute exploratory session with me as a coach if they want to do one-on-one private coaching and have me just hold their hand through that process.
Everybody should take you up on that. Everybody should take you up on that who is looking for a coach, like, because what would that be? That would be just wonderful.
Thank you. And of course, you can find me on social media. I'm at Dr. Marie Tuen on Instagram and Marie Tuen on Facebook and LinkedIn. So please follow me and say hi. I love connecting with folks.
Beautiful. I encourage all of you to do that. Thank you for inspiring us. Thank you for turning something so potentially toxic into an adventure of growth. That's a big deal. Thanks for being here with us. And I will be sharing more about your work because I just think it's fabulous.
Ken, that means the world to me because let me tell you, I always recommend your book to my coaching clients and your work has been so inspirational and reassuring and empowering to me. So thank you for everything you've done and still doing and sharing and being. So thank you for having me.
Thank you, Marie. And thank you to all of you for listening. I can't wait to hear your feedback, your thoughts, and your experience trying this four-pillar approach. So thank you all so much. And I look forward to connecting on the next episode of the Deeper Dating Podcast. And thank you, Marie.
Thank you.
And that's it for today's episode of Deeper Dating. Be sure to go to deeperdatingpodcast.com as Ken has a few more gifts for you. Then join us on the next episode.